The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Listen to the show worldwide on your Amazon smart speaker.
Just tell Alexa to enable the Todd and Tyler skill.
This is the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
You can stream at tntradioempire.com. Get the podcast from there also, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Patronize the advertisers, please. Tough times. Tough times. John Paul Morgan, he must be going nuts. The guy's pretty, he moves around a lot. Yeah. Have you never seen John Paul in person or... You've heard him, if you haven't, on our show. He's nuts. He's stuck in Louisiana. So we're talking to him later on. We're talking to Bill Engvall, another old friend of ours, and Dennis Quaid, who we don't know, but we talked to Dennis before.
We had him booked one time, but it fell through for some reason. All right. Yeah. All right.
I thought we'd talk to him.
Curious if John Paul Morgan has anything to say.
He's pretty quiet.
He's pretty reserved.
He's pretty quiet.
You have to pull the conversation out of it.
I eat peck of cheese.
I know. I know you do. I know you do. I know you do.
Oh, his family.
He'd probably eat a lot more now being stuck at home.
Yeah. His family's got to be sick of him.
Yeah. Oh. The dude's been on the road his whole life from Wednesday to Sunday. Now, he spent a lot of time at home, too, but... He's been going a long time.
Yeah, for years and years.
Years and years.
Yeah, and he seems to have the need to constantly engage.
Right. Well, he smokes a lot of dope and hangs out in gardens, you know. So you he's probably doing a lot of that.
Some quiet time?
Oh, he says he does.
Oh, I just see him talking all the time.
He's got to fix all the rental properties.
That's true, too.
That's right. Yeah. He is the landlord, isn't he? Yeah.
I would assume his family is encouraging him to just why don't you go have some alone time?
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, I see a tomato out there.
Away from us.
They're just breaking stuff in the house, so he has to fix it.
Yeah.
Out there mowing the yard.
Right.
A few times a week.
Yeah, he'll be calling here in about, looks like a half hour.
Half hour. Was on this date in 2013.
Ah, the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go outside, put on makeup.
The Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, no. Not a good
one. That's right. We long for those days.
The good old days.
When it was just an isolated bombing.
Isolated. It affected the whole country.
Yeah.
Right. Just joking, folks.
That was a crazy story. I remember watching that. They found that kid on that boat.
Yeah, I know.
That standoff was broadcast.
Yeah. That was a crazy story.
I watched most of the movie that they made, the one with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I couldn't watch that, but it was pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
I don't like the I don't like current movies about things that happened a year ago. You know what I mean?
You know, it was one of those.
I like history.
No. It was one of those times where there was nothing else on, and I just kind of left it on the TV, and it wasn't bad.
Remember that kid? Good looking. Kid, you know, got sucked in by his older brother, and now he's in jail forever. Just dumbass.
They put him on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
I know. Well, he was cute. People loved him.
He did run over his brother, by the way.
Yes, he did. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
I mean, now, to be fair.
That was an accident, right?
The guy was shot.
Right.
He was shot up, and then the other brother was trying to escape and just ran over him and killed him.
Right. So he's got that going for him. He killed one of the suspects.
He can think about that every day of his life.
Yeah. So there's that.
That's right. He just hid under the tarp in that boat. What was he thinking? I'm going to stay here forever, and they'll never find me. I guess when you hide, you're a kid and you hide, you're in trouble from parents, something like that. You think you can just hide forever?
Well,
and you can't.
There's no end. You don't consider the end.
No, you don't.
You just consider now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm hiding.
You're trying to survive the current 10 minutes.
Right. They're going
to
walk around this yard for a while and just leave.
We're safe harbor now.
Right.
Yes.
You're not thinking
half
an hour from now.
You're not.
A day from now.
You're not.
It's crazy for that dude who just had his boat in his yard.
Right.
I know.
Because if you were thinking about that
dude is like,
you might not have bombed the finish line of the Boston Marathon to begin with.
Yeah. The guy with the boat in the yard is the celebrity in that neighborhood. Yeah, that's Jim. You got to know, that's where it was.
Remember
You know, he's out back with a beer every weekend explaining the boat to somebody that's a friend of somebody.
Yeah, I saved the tarp.
Yeah. That's the boat right there. He was right in there. Yeah.
He hopped up that ladder.
I can't do a Boston accent. Right there. No. I can't do it. Can't do it. Ah, the good old days.
Watching David Ortiz, that was the coolest thing to come out of that, was him at Fenway.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I was like, this is our effing city.
Yeah. Boston strong. Nobody else was.
Are they still strong?
Everybody's strong.
One assumes.
Everybody's strong.
Everybody is strong.
Right. So stop that.
I'm annoyed by that as well.
We've always been annoyed by that.
Yeah.
They were just flexing at that moment.
We're running some spots
here. And at this point, it's jumped the shark.
We're the best. No, everybody's okay. Everybody comes together. Every community comes together.
But nobody's strong until something tragic happens. Flood, bombing. Otherwise, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Oh, 9/11. Yeah.
And then when a natural disaster or something man-made horrible happens, then we're strong.
But only us, though. Nobody else.
Oh, yeah. It's geographically
this community
exclusive.
Comes together. And you know what falls for that is that it's local TV news. It's only them, and they know that's wrong.
Well, but that's raw for their listeners,
but that's
for their watchers.
Also, no, that's we could do the same thing, and we don't. Even when we're a local show, we could do that. We don't do it because we know it's phony.
Okay.
Everybody's good.
We know.
Well, they know it's phony, too. Local TV news knows that's a phony line. Everybody, every community comes together during a crisis.
The viewers,
not
they
just
bring
that
in,
area.
The viewers, I mean, there is a certain percentage of the population that is enticed by that.
I read a Facebook post.
Oh, they love to hear that.
Love to
they
hear
it. Eat that up.
From a woman that said that when she was in New York, they were all rude. And this was like 2 days ago, bitching about the coronavirus. And she was from Pig's Knuckle, Iowa somewhere. And I'm thinking, shut up. You know, I don't know who she was. I'm thinking, that's why you don't care about what's happening with the virus? Because somebody you met in New York was rude? Shut up.
That's completely selfish, dude.
Well, it's just she didn't get it, you know?
They didn't talk to me at the 7-Eleven. Like, they don't do that there.
Yeah,
it's your job to assimilate to their ways. When you go to
whatever,
that town.
They're not all rude there. People are rude here, too. Shut up.
Yeah, I've noticed that rudeness seems to be pretty evenly distributed.
Right.
Yeah, and those are the same kind of like small towns where you walk in and like the door creaks open to the bar and they all look at you.
Look at
you,
right.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to do comedy.
Well, you got jokes, boy.
That is the same kind of place. You're a stranger in that town. They look at you like, what are you doing here? Right.
Haven't encountered a lot of jackasses lately, but I do come in here 5 days a week, so that's not true.
Yeah, I know people who are always on guard for someone not speaking to them correctly.
Right, ready to pounce.
They are always ready to pounce. And they consider themselves very nice.
Everybody's
but they still come across as, you know, on edge. Because they're waiting for you to, sorry, anyone that they don't know at the store, whatever, to say something wrong.
Right.
So that they can then blame them for something.
Bitchy chicks, usually. Is that loud?
It's all over.
Is that loud? Sorry. Yeah. I know. I was just thinking that.
Well, in any community, you can be like the great, strong community that rises up. There's still pockets of assholes.
That's a great band name.
It is.
Pockets of assholes. No, of course your community rose up, but so did another community, and so did another community. That's what people do. And any coast, north, south, whatever. We've always railed against that. I mean, what New York's doing right now is amazing. They're dying by the hundreds. We have no idea what it's like there. None. Mm-mm. It's a war zone.
Yeah, they've refrigerated morgues.
No, exactly. But I was there once. It's rude. That was what you said.
Yeah.
You're talking about the people dying, and you're saying you were at Long Island once. Somebody's rude to you.
People aren't saying hello to you on the sidewalk.
Look at you.
Well, and I just think at this point, if you're using the hashtag insert whatever strong,
I hate that.
You're just cliche and lazy at this point.
Right.
Do something original.
Right.
That's done for.
We work hard here in other places.
Yeah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The governor of Florida is defending his decision to declare professional wrestling an essential business during the pandemic. Global pandemic. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, this is not there's no crowds at this, right?
No.
No. But they're going to do like, but they're still going to get together and
the crew
rub up on
is
each
a
other.
Crowd.
All right, you're right.
Yeah.
This guy's a nut job.
Yeah, it takes a lot of people to put that production on.
Yes, it does.
I would assume.
The governor says, people want entertainment. So
it's scripted.
Whatever.
It's scripted. What? I don't care. I'm not watching that.
So they say that they are going to do everything they possibly can to keep all the crew and whatnot safe. You know, temperatures and this and that and the other thing, doing everything they can. So good luck to them, I guess.
So it's Monday Night Raw every night from Florida?
Not every night.
Well, Monday night from Florida? Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't watch it anymore.
At their Orlando facility.
Got it.
All the wrestlers are just going to have to stay 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Man, when this is over, I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, sometimes
you're the winner.
Sometimes that's about as close as the punches come anyway.
Yeah,
what are they going to do? Have staring contests?
Yeah.
You blinked. Mm-hmm. Next.
Paper, rock, scissors from across the ring.
No, it's like that old MTV show where the people called each other's moms out 6 feet apart, you know, with the microphones. That's just going to be just two wrestlers yelling at each other. Yeah. Your mom sucks. Your sister sucks. That's our show.
They could hit each other with ladders, right?
Thank God.
Sometimes you throw in a dad.
Sometimes there's a dad in there, yeah. But 6 feet apart, you're right. They ain't going to wrestle. This sucks, man. These guys are just yelling at each other.
They could just do like American Gladiators. Remember that had that thing with that guy with the shoot the tennis balls off the top of that mountain? Something like that could work.
Yeah, that could work.
Everybody's further. You still have cameras and
stuff.
Right,
and you swap down those tennis ball guns, you know.
But somebody's got to declare them essential.
Yeah. They had, my wife had Ellen on yesterday. She's at her house. Oh, and she's got a really nice house. Yeah, because she's, whatever. Yeah. So she's sitting in her house, and I walk in, and she's talking to the camera. Outside the window, you see a person, like in her garden, pretty nice looking house, obviously, from this angle at least, and I'm sure it is, and there's a person with a mask on, and Becky said that producer for the show is outside behind the window to be there for the show, but she's outside.
She doesn't do it from her casita?
I don't know where she was in some, she was in a comfortable looking room with a nice looking backyard, but it's Southern California.
Because we're pretty sure Tom Hanks did his monologue from a casita.
From the kitchen, yeah.
You know, because he's got this image to uphold. He's the nicest guy in Hollywood. Right. He can't be, you know, doing a monologue from some palatial estate.
We don't know what the rest of the house looks like.
He's the good guy.
We have no idea what the rest of the house looks like.
He's the common guy. Right. That's everybody, you know, you hear from everybody. He's the nicest guy in Hollywood. So he can't have a palatial kitchen.
Well, he probably does, though.
He doesn't want to look like a mogul.
Right.
No.
He's still very rich.
And the kitchen he actually hangs out in is probably pretty nice. Nicer than the one he did the monologue from.
Well, that wasn't an asshole. It just looked smaller than
it didn't look huge.
I mean, there weren't cupboards hanging off of the hinges.
Yeah, according to this, they purchased a $26 million Pacific Palisades mansion in 2010.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. And I'm guessing that wasn't the kitchen from the $26 million mansion.
Tom Hanks purchased it.
That could have been like the basement kitchen.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's probably something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was broadcasting from his doomsday bunker.
Right.
Yeah.
Love this story out of France. This defense manufacturer there in France. They were having a party, and they were having a party over with the Air Force, I guess. And so this 64-year-old engineer that's worked with this company forever, it's like his birthday or something, and everybody likes him. And so they said, hey, we worked it out. We can get you a ride on the plane on one of these fighter jets. This is over in France. So the guy says, you know, it's nice of you, but nah, I don't really want to go.
Oh, I saw this yesterday. Yeah, this is great. Go ahead.
The guy says, you know, it's nice of you, but I really don't want to go. And, you know, but they got him
Hang
to
on.
Go.
I'm going to get some audio.
So he wanted to go, he didn't necessarily want to go, but they were so nice to him, and he'd been doing this forever.
And
so
they went
he said,
to a lot
all right.
of trouble.
Yeah, they went to a lot of trouble. So he said, all right, I'll go and take this ride on the fighter jet. And as he's going on the joyride, he was about to throw up.
Got nervous, right?
He was told to hold on, so he grabbed a handle. Turns out that activated the plane's ejection system.
Oh, man.
Shot him out.
Watch out for the canopy, Goose.
It shot him right out at about 2,500 feet. Now then, this ejector seat is supposed to work for both him and the pilot.
Whoa.
The ejector seat, when you pull it, is supposed to throw you out and the pilot.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know the passenger could throw the pilot out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work for the pilot.
Oh, good. The plane would just hit something then.
All right, whatever it's programmed to do.
Right.
So it didn't work for the pilot.
The parachute went out. The guy lived, right?
Oh, yeah, he's fine.
The parachute went off and everything.
Yeah, minor injuries. Not, you know, not a big deal. He parachuted back to Earth just fine.
You think he went, what the hell is that? To not know that's the button he was going to push. I originally read that as a story where he knew he was just.
No.
He wanted out. He wanted out. So
total accident.
Right. He was wrong. He just thought it was a handle.
He was surprised.
Yeah.
I said I didn't want to go. This is why.
And the pilot was able to land the plane okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get ejected.
But they said it was supposed to inject him, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was supposed to eject.
Okay.
Yeah, so they said he had to land the thing knowing that his seat could just explode out of there at any second.
Yeah. Does it close again then?
Well, maybe there's a safety for the pilot's one, because if you fly with somebody behind you and they're nuts, they could kill everybody. I mean, the pilot should be able to be the guy to pull. I guess because the pilot goes.
How long do you
figure? The pilot passes out, though. You need to be able to eject his
ass. Well, I've heard that if you're in a flat spin, sometimes you get pressed up against the glass and you can't pull it, so you got to in the back's got to pull it, and then he hits the canopy and dies.
But after this guy got ejected, how long do you figure it took to process that? What just happened?
Yeah. I think it was when he hit the ground. He went, "What the hell was that?"
No,
he's Tommy Boy falling down the mountain. Excuse me, it wasn't Tommy Boy, Black Sheep. He's the whole way down the mountain. He goes, "What the hell was that? What was that?"
When he's got the canopy over him, he has time to start figuring things out, because it's a slow drop.
I guess,
even though I guess it was just 2,500 feet. That's
it
not very
that
far.
High.
Do you think at one point, when he's in the slow drop, he went, what the hell up to it?
No, he didn't want to go in the first place.
I think he was pooping himself.
And it's my birthday.
He did poop himself.
All the way down to the, and then finally when he hit the ground, he figured out what happened. Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Then the pilot's all of a sudden got a breeze in the cockpit. Like, the hell is this?
Yeah. That canopy must close.
No, they said it was open top.
It's open?
He landed it without the canopy.
Okay.
So this guy landed in the middle of nowhere? Somebody's backyard?
I don't know where he landed. Yeah. No word on where he landed. Near the Air Force base, one assumes. Yeah.
The story I read said it did mention that they were lucky they were not over water, because there's supposed to be like a raft that deploys around the seat that he's in,
right.
And it didn't.
It didn't.
So if he'd been over water,
he'd drown.
They would have just sunk him.
Oh. Well, that'd been actually funny, but not for him, but his family. But
somebody had to go pick him up.
But he's got a good story.
Yes,
he's got
a
great story.
He does. The handwritten by Paul McCartney lyrics to "Hey Jude" sold for $910,000.
Is it written "Hey Jules" the way he wrote it?
Quickly scribbled notes.
Okay. All right.
Don't know.
Yeah, it was supposed to be about John Lennon's son, right?
It's for Julian, right?
Yeah.
Because his parents were breaking up. Because that bitch Yoko.
Oh, that's right.
I'm surprised that didn't make it
into the
line
crossed out on there? That bitch Yoko. He's like, nah, leave that out. That's so insane to me.
How much now? I'm sorry, any of the price?
$910,000 for the handwritten lyrics.
Beatles fans have money, man. They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
But at some point, he just took those notes into the studio, and he's like, hey, guys,
I know.
I got a song.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's Hey Jude.
Right. I know.
There's a scene in that movie, that the new movie, Yesterday, the one where the
yeah,
guy...
Yeah, I've seen parts of that. It looks pretty good.
There's a scene in there where he's trying to re-record Hey Jude,
right.
And Ed Sheeran's in the movie, uh-huh. Trying to convince him, no, I really think it would be better if it was Hey Dude.
Really?
Hey Dude, really, you think?
Hey Dude.
So they recorded it as Hey Dude.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny.
It's not a bad movie.
No, I saw the beginning. It's just obviously all the lights go out. Nobody knows why the Beatles don't exist, except for he knows they exist. I get it, and he has to remember all the songs because there's no history of them. So I did see the beginning. It looks pretty good. It's definitely a mind eraser for nowadays,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My favorite gag.
I got to stick with the whole thing though. My
favorite gag in the whole thing is there's other things that don't exist. Besides just the Beatles.
Well, Oasis doesn't exist.
Yeah, and he's Googling things up. He Googles Oasis. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. That was a great line. Exactly. Yeah. Should have done that with Nirvana, then the Foo Fighters wouldn't exist.
They would not.
I'd watch that movie. I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have had Nirvana.
True. But no, the guy would have recorded Nirvana songs, and they would have said, what about the Foo Fighters? Oh, they don't exist.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, all right. Austin Strong, be right back. Hang on.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.